Hello, and welcome back to Laundry Day, the podcast that I created entirely as a reason to put my laundry in the wash. Sit back, fold your laundry, drive your car, fold and drive, and enjoy this pointless 45-minute chat. Let's talk body odor. That's a good start, huh? I recently hopped on the trend of drinking chlorophyll with my water, not to be confused with chloroform. Chlorophyll. I saw it on TikTok and faintly remember learning about it in science class. It's the green stuff that's in green plants. I started drinking it because people claim that it detoxes you and helps you with your skin and body odor. So far, oops, my audio was kind of messing up, but this is how we roll. So far, that actually does check out to be true, though, y'all. I'm serious. My skin has looked better. Don't look too close. My skin has looked better. I also have been drinking collagen, though, which I know could contribute. Anyway, TikTok, of course, got this stuff sold out everywhere, but I did snatch some up before the TikTok girlies overran it. I'm pretty into true crime, murder investigations, documentaries on serial killers. I recently watched the Mendez case from a couple, I should say more than a couple years ago. It's a long time. They've been in jail for a while. But I watched the Mendez case. I saw it circulating on TikTok. Basically, the story is this. Two sons were raised in a rich family. They had everything they wanted. They excelled in sports. But in the end, their parents were both murdered in a mafia-staged crime. It comes out later that they killed their parents, and the court cases are all online. They're like 3 hours each, but the boys explain the level of abuse that they had gone through, which was every type of abuse, sadly, that they had been enduring all along. They were ultimately caught because they immediately started spending their deceased parents' wealth, and it stuck out as strange for two boys whose parents were murdered. After watching the case, I read the comments, and it looks like most people believe the boys have suffered enough and don't deserve life in prison. I do have to say that after watching the detailed court cases, I mean, like 6 hours of just watching their court date, I tend to agree that they do deserve a lighter sentence because, okay, sorry, I don't want to get in trouble for this opinion, but it seems like a lot of people feel this way as well. It wasn't exactly in self-defense, but if you listen, and these court cases are so detailed to the point where I wish they weren't so detailed about these boys' childhood growing up with their mother and father. But if you listen to what they endured, they were in fear of their life in a way. No, they weren't in specific harm's way in the moment that they did murder their parents, but they were put in harm's way their whole entire lives. And yeah, you can't justify what they did. They do deserve, you know, you deserve to be in trouble for your actions, but I don't know about being in jail for the rest of their life. They've already been in there for a long time. People want them to come out. It's similar to the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case, where a lot of people feel she should be released from jail as well. If you haven't watched either the show about Gypsy Rose Blanchard's life or the actual, again, court cases, you should look it up because it's very interesting. And she also killed her parent. Love you, Mom and Dad. Without going into detail, I'm saying if you're seriously into this kind of thing, though, look it up because I don't want to go into too much detail here. That's not the vibe. That's not the mood. Is it the vibe? Maybe it is the vibe. But look it up. You definitely should look it up yourself. Have you all watched the Cecil Hotel documentary? That's another one that people have been telling me to watch. It's sort of in the same lane, but it's not a murder thing. Well, sort of. It's a haunting. I haven't seen the documentary, but I did see a YouTuber who lives across the street's YouTube video covering the strange things that he's seen in the allegedly haunted hotel. I don't know. I don't know anything more. I am not the good source for this. Why am I talking about something I don't know? That's what I do. That's what we do here on Laundry Day. I want to share with you guys a quote that I saw that spoke to me. It says, "Happiness is not by chance, but by choice." So inspiring. But I've spent a lot of my life pretty miserable. I've spent a ton of my life miserable, and it's not because the cards that were dealt to me would make a miserable person. It was just my choice, and I've always hid it because I don't want to burden anyone. I've never wanted to just burden people with my sadness and my constant state of misery and all that. So I've always hid it, and no one believes me when I say this. No one believes that I have anxiety. No one believes that I have been so miserable, because I never want to put my problems on other people, but I chose to live that way. I'm admitting it fully. I chose to live that way. I chose so many painful routes because of literally one thing, which is my fear of disappointment. I'm always afraid to be disappointed because it's inevitable. Disappointment happens. This is the world. It's ridden with sin and problems and sickness and all of that. But life is going to be full of plot twists. And I would rather be happy along the way to the storm that the storm, I acknowledge my former self's fear of this storm, because the storm is going to happen, but I would rather be happy every second leading up to that than to predict it a year before it even happens and live in that constant misery. So I think that was I think it's a good little quote. Happiness is not by chance, but by choice. I love to share interesting lists with you guys. I love a good list. I have a segment name for it, but I don't have it written down on this specific thing, so now I can't remember what it is. What is my list segment called? Something laundry related. Here's this list. Let me get onto it. I'm talking too much. This one is a list that I found on BuzzFeed, which they have lots of good lists if you're interested in more. It's facts about the original Lion King that you probably don't know. These are really cool. First one, the iconic opening lyrics, "Na sanganya balami yaba simhinya ye." I'm reading the lyrics, but I still don't know how to pronounce it correctly. And that's what it is in my childhood brain. But the opening lyrics mean, for Circle of Life, that's what the song is. They literally translate to, "There comes a lion. Oh yes, it's a lion." It's so powerful, but it's not. It's just, "There comes a lion. Oh yes, it's a lion." Which I love. I love that. I thought, I honestly, as a kid, I don't even think I thought that those were words. I thought it was just a feel. When you're a kid, words really don't matter that much anyway. It's just about the feeling. Next, "Can You Feel the Love Tonight" was the first song Tim Rice and Elton John completed for the film. It was also originally supposed to be sung by Timon and Pumbaa, which is kind of cute if you try to picture them singing, "Can you feel the love tonight." "Can You Feel the Love Tonight" was almost cut from the movie because it did not fit the film's father and son theme. I cannot imagine that film without that song, so that was a good call. The song was put back in, you'll know why it's a good call here. The song was put back in the film after Elton John, who wrote the lyrics, classic, saw an early cut of the film and made it clear that it needed to be in the film. In fact, John said that the reason he agreed to work on the film was to write a Disney love song. So Elton John speaks and he receives. They did it. They left it in the movie and everybody loves it. The next fact, I like this one. This is super interesting. There are no real lion roars used in the film. They were all done by voice actor Frank Welker, who created the distinct roaring and growling into a metal garbage can. I've seen TikToks of the people who make, like, they make the heel clicking sound when someone's walking in a movie or anything. It could be the crunching sound when someone's eating their bowl of cereal. Yeah, they don't record those actual sounds. Obviously, like, a lot of the time there's music over it. How would they have the sound of the heels? It makes sense to me now. But I've watched this lady on TikTok, I wish I knew her name, create these types of sounds so I can picture perfectly him growling into a metal garbage can. And now I need to watch the movie so I can picture that that's the truth and it's not really a real lion. But they did bring real lions in on the set so they could study their movement. So it's interesting. They had the lions there, but they didn't record them roaring or growling. Interesting. Let's see. The next one is, originally they had a sequence planned out where Scar tries to seduce Nala with a reprise of Be Prepared. That plot point was eventually worked into the Broadway musical, which is one of my favorite musicals and Broadway shows ever. When I got engaged, I got engaged in New York. Wow. I didn't write this into the segment. It's just coming to me. I'm feeling the vibe. But I got engaged in New York City, and it was my first trip there ever. I was dying to visit there, and my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, knew that. So he took me to see The Lion King. It was the best trip probably of my life. His parents were also there, and I've said it before in a podcast on my main channel, I'm obsessed with his parents, like so obsessed with them. I love them to death. So they were there. We went and saw The Lion King. We saw the Blue Man Group. New York City. I love it. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. All right. Last point is The Lion King is the best-selling VHS tape ever of all time. And I had it on VHS. So this, I'm a part of this theory's proof, I guess. I had this on VHS. I can picture it. And it's so funny. I can picture the way that it feels opening up the VHS, what is it called? Case. I can feel that feeling when I just close my eyes and think about it. And I can also smell the smell of a VHS in my head. Tell me if you guys know that. It's sad. Like even my littlest brother, he'll not remember that. He'll never have that memory of the smell of a VHS or the way those cases just pop open. He'll never have that because he's 14 now. So he was not in the VHS era. It's time for a little dirty laundry. So I live in Nashville where we have quite a few Bachelor alumni, the show The Bachelor, and a lot of bachelors, like not from the show. Just there's so many like, just Nashville. It's just popping with single people. But anyway, and they're all good looking. They all love their families. They're all like total, like they're great. Nashville's a great place if you're single, I'm sure. I was never single when I lived here, but I just, they're all, my husband and I always do this when we go out. We look around and we see all these people. We're like, they're all perfect candidates. They're hot. They dress well. They love their families. They love God. Like it's, you got to go to Nashville. But anyway, we have the actual show, The Bachelor alumni. A lot of them live here. And as I'm recording this, the news just came out that Colton Underwood is gay. Colton had a whole season as The Bachelor where he was left heartbroken over one of the girls he planned to propose to, though they did end up together in a dating relationship in the end. So they didn't do the proposal. She, you know, kind of got cold feet, whatever. And they did end up dating. It looks like they dated for a long time. They both got the coronavirus at the beginning of the pandemic. Like I remember seeing all of this. And he's getting a lot of internet support for speaking his truth and coming out. But I can't help but remember that just last year, his girlfriend from the show, Cassie Randolph, got a restraining order against him for putting a tracker on her vehicle and parking outside of her house. Now, I am not saying that I'm above this because it sounds a little like something I would probably do if my husband dumped me. I would put a tracker on his car 100%. So no judgment. Well, a little judgment. judgment because I am crazy and I can acknowledge that that's a little bit crazy. But she got a restraining order. So this wasn't just like a weird story she told or something like that. Like it was serious. She got a restraining order against him for doing that. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's feeling confident enough to speak his heart. But I wonder how perfectly timed this type of news is with covering up what had tainted his image a few months back. He took an Instagram hiatus. He, you know, I mean, people were kind of creeped out and he kind of gave that vibe on the show. So if you didn't watch his season, he was known as the virgin bachelor. So he is a Christian himself and he was saving himself for marriage, which I thought was really cool. I'm all about people speaking out on choices like that because there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But that's what led people initially to ask him about his sexuality. People thought like, how could you be a football player and, you know, whatever and whatever. That's what people's assumption was about him was that maybe he's gay. And it turns out he is. But I'm just wondering if he's timing this news to – it's such shocking news that he came out that it's totally covering up the fact that his girlfriend had a restraining order against him just a couple months ago, like during this pandemic year. This was all happening. So let me know, what are your thoughts? I loved Colton's season. I loved Cassie. I'm a Bachelor watcher. I know it's total garbage TV, but I really enjoy watching it. It's funny. It's fun. It's whatever. It's easy to watch and it takes me out of my life and my stressors. So what are your thoughts on Colton, on The Bachelor, Chris Harrison being canceled, all of that? I want to know y'all's thoughts. I asked you over on my Instagram what you wanted me to talk about on my podcast, and so many of you wanted to hear more music industry secrets about my experience as a musician. There are two reasons. So I get asked all the time, why am I not more famous or why am I not whatever? Because I've been in the music industry for a decade. there are two reasons that I believe my career has been more of a steady climb rather than waking up and being the biggest star in the world one morning. The first reason is that I've never agreed to something I wasn't comfortable with, ever. I've just never been one to do that. I've done all the label meetings. I was on TV, but I've been sat down, and I don't know how many times, due to me not complying with putting on a fake persona or releasing a song I didn't actually write or don't even like, or getting married, which was super shun. People begged me not to get married because it would be bad for my image and it would be harder to sell me because the fantasy is gone. Once you get married, people can't fantasize being with you and you're kind of an old hag and everything goes downhill from there. So do not get married. And that was so shunned. The list goes on. I mean, there's a million things that I've done that aren't traditional. So since the beginning of my career, I've been sat down by legal departments for speaking my mind in the wrong room or telling someone important that I don't care how important they are if I disagree with the principal. Yeah, that's been my brand from day one. When I was 14, I think it's been long enough in my contract, I can probably talk about this. But I got sat down by the legal department when I was on the X Factor, when I was just a little feisty teen. I'd probably do it a little differently nowadays, but I was sat down because I spoke my mind. They wanted to put a veil over my face for a part that I was barely going to have any camera time anyway, and I felt like I was going to get voted off soon. And I said, no, I'm not wearing the veil. And they said, do you understand who's dressing you? And I said, I don't care who's dressing me. And this isn't a fashion show. This is a music competition. That came out of my 14-year-old mouth, and the legal department had to come sit me down and say, hey, you can't just go around talking to all these important people like that. But I said, this is my one shot. This is my career. This is my dream. I'm not wearing a veil on my 1 second on TV and not have a memorable enough face and whatever. There was that time. There was also, I knew the week that I was going to get voted off. I knew because I was reading what people were saying. I knew that people wanted me to do something upbeat, and I wasn't allowed to. I was not allowed to do something upbeat. And I don't hold it against anyone because there are reasons the show has to do what it has to do. If everybody does something similar that week, the show's not interesting as a whole. Or if, you know, this girl's doing a ballad, this girl can't do a ballad. It just doesn't flow. So there, I hold nothing against these people, especially now that I'm an adult and I understand how these things work. But back when I didn't understand how it worked, I was upset. I was pissed. I didn't always deal with Simon Cowell directly during the week. Sometimes I would deal with someone who was like right beneath him. And I told that person, I said, you are the person that I'm coming to when I get voted off, because I know I'm getting voted off. And it seems like you guys are plotting to vote me off because you're not letting me do what the world's asking for and blah, blah, blah. And again, the legal department had to say, hey, you can't do that. And I said, sure I can. Sure I can. I'm a minor. My contract actually protects me more than anybody. This is my last chance. Once I'm an adult, I might actually get in trouble for doing this. But I have always been kind of a bit of a spitfire because I don't like – this leads into my second thing, so I won't say it of why I've been a spitfire. But the second reason is that I'm so faith-based that – even though I can be edgy and I can wear crop tops or I can cuss like a sailor, I'm not willing to compromise on my moral compass of honesty. I am so, what is the word? I put honesty so high on such a pedestal that I'm not willing to be dishonest or do things that make me feel dishonest. So many experiences in the music industry have felt dishonest. And I've watched it from the inside. My husband is a manager. He's managed musicians. He's managed celebrities. He's been a tour manager for a lot of different tours. And he's managed politicians and political campaigns. So I've seen it from the inside of how a lot of these things run. And I've been protected by being a duo with my husband that I'm not willing to compromise on my pedestal of honesty being so high at the top. I've watched so many people pay for their career, whether it's monetarily or with their literal soul. And I've always been more willing to put in the work to build what I have here with you all than to take the, I guess, easy. It's not easy in the end, but what seems to be the easier quick route of doing what I'm told. My highest criteria has been and has always been and will always be never losing my soul to gain money or fame. I can't become the product so much that who I am is gone. That's why there's the 27 Club, which is so many celebrities have died of drug overdoses at 27. And, you know, it's because you give up your literal soul for your success. And I just, there's nothing worth that to me. I would rather have 100 people love me for who I am than a million people who love me because I'm a product, because I was a sellout and chose to be a product. And hey, this is not to say that everybody who's at the top is a total sellout. I want to make that clear. There is a way to do it. I want to do it that way. So this is not me knocking anybody. I can think of lots of people that I believe have kind of sold out. So many people who are at the top have spoken on it themselves, that they sold out for all this time and now they don't want to and whatever. So I want to do it the right way. I would rather have 100 people who love me than for who I actually am than a million who love the product that isn't even me. It's important for me to share this because it gives me a sense of accountability to share this with you all. It keeps me grounded in the things that do matter to me, and I'm putting it out into the world. And I've done this over and over the last decade, that I will take the slow rise and the uphill climb over the instant success that could hurt me. To lighten the mood, because that was a lot. I admit that was a lot, but you guys wanted this. You wanted me to be a little more open on here. But to lighten the mood, let's do our random fact of the day. The real reason you guys listen to this podcast, because you just can't wait for that random fact. You fart an average of 14 times a day, and each fart travels at a speed of 7 miles per hour. This is true. This is true. Although I don't know, I'm not sure how they measure how fast your fart travels. That is something I would love to see the science project that they had to do to get this data. I love fart facts. Let's share, since we're being silly, let's share a laundry joke. I've been forgetting to add this in on all my podcasts. Let's share a little laundry joke. How fun is doing your laundry?
Loads.
That was so dumb. That is so dumb. Okay, no, one more. I want to do one more. I should save it, but I want to do it. Don't you get tired and want to throw the towel in sometimes?
No, that just makes more laundry.
I'm losing it. I am so losing it.
All right. I hate asking for things. I want to preface this part with this because I really hate asking for things. If you guys can help me though, since we're close, I want to let you in on the truth. The truth is I'm super insecure about my podcast succeeding. I've always been this way. I hold myself to an unrealistic standard, and I also just hold myself to the highest standard possible that maybe is realistic. So I'm insecure. I'm insecure about this succeeding. I really want it to succeed. If you follow a lot of musicians, you know so many people have side jobs or they work three other regular jobs to be able to support their dream. I've been so blessed by you all. Aw, I feel like crying, but I won't. No crying. I have been so blessed by you guys and by my family and by my husband to be able to do this as my main job, to do music, to entertain, to public speak. This is my dream. This is what I want to be doing. And I've been so blessed to be able to do it, but it's not without the help that I've received. I can't do this alone. I don't want it to be something I let fall by the wayside because of that, because I can't do it on my own. So if you could subscribe, wow, I just like, that was so deep. But if you could subscribe to my weekly podcasts, share them with your best friends and your family and, you know, share it. And I need that interaction. I need it. And then leave me a review. The reviews, okay, this is a little inside fact, but the reviews are what tricks the algorithm to thinking this is the most popping off podcast that anyone's ever listened to. So if you can please take the time, it's so appreciated to leave a review. I will be able to get sponsorships. I will be able to get placed on the New and Noteworthy podcast and make this a huge part of my daily career, because that's the thing. It's fun to do music. It's fun to do the podcast as a hobby. But in order to be able to deliver the way that I want to deliver to you guys, I need this to be a part of my career. So please, if you can, leave a review, click subscribe so that I can keep putting out content that you guys love. Thank you so, so much from the bottom of my heart for being just the best followers. You guys are seriously the best followers. You've never made me feel like I couldn't just be who I am. So I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for being here. Seriously. Thank you so much for watching Laundry Day or listening to Laundry Day if you are not watching and you're on the road folding and driving. I will see you next time.
Bye.